There's a lot of things that can be said on Father's Day for dads. And we are blessed in this church to have some good fathers, some good men. Men who are dads and fathers and raise their children right, but men. Not every church has solid families led by Christian men. And we're blessed this morning with all the family members and the dads that we have. I don't know how long it would take me to preach this message in its entirety, but I'm going to do my best to keep it as short as possible. But the title of the message this morning is A Father Worth Following. I hope that someday I grow up to be a father worth following. And I mean that with sincerity. My kids are doing well, it seems, spiritually, and I am beyond blessed for that. But I'm still human. And I've had to many times, use the reverse gear. More times than what I'm willing to admit, maybe in a public setting. But I've had to go back, had to make amends, jump to conclusions, too hard, too harsh, too quick. So many different things that I could say. But a father worth following. The proverb writer in Proverbs 20 and verse number 7 tells us, the just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. The father's greatest gift to his family is not money, possessions, or opportunities, it is his example. Did you hear that? The greatest gift that a father can give to his family is his example. Children are always following someone. It doesn't matter whose child it is and what the nature of the child is. Children follow someone. The question is whether they are following a father whose life points them toward God or some other individual who may point them elsewhere. Sad to say, there are too many fathers in our world today, even our local community today, that do not lead in that way. Integrity. The Bible presents four essential responsibilities. You could probably think of some more, but let me just look at four essential responsibilities that I believe the Bible gives us as responsibilities of a godly father. A father worth following. And if we keep them all as alliterated, and I'm finding a little interest in alliteration. I'm rereading Dr. James Keaton's book, and he was a man of alliteration. He preached so often by alliteration. And so maybe that's where this comes from this morning. Principle, perseverance, provision, and protection. If you don't like the P's as the alliterated letter, then let's go with the letter F. Forthrightness, faithfulness, furnishing, and fortification. Let me start off with the word principle or the word integrity. And that's the verse that I've already read, Proverbs 20 and verse number 7, the just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. Integrity is simply the same person in private as he is in public. There is no difference whether somebody's looking or somebody isn't looking. Even if they don't know that somebody's looking, they're still living by the same standard or the same principle. They are a person of integrity. You see, it's the father's character that sets the moral climate for the home. Let me say that again, maybe not for your benefit, but for the world's benefit, even though the world isn't listening to me this morning. Let me just simply say it again, because this is what needs to happen across America and around the world. The father's character sets the moral climate for the home. Thank God for moms who have picked up and stepped up in those weak areas of the father's moral condition. But it's still necessary, it's still vital for the father. He is the one that sets the moral climate. Children will learn honesty and truthfulness and righteousness by watching their father live before them in daily actions and daily living. One thing that we fathers must remember, the greatest lessons are often caught rather than taught. Now that doesn't minimize the necessity of us teaching, but our teaching must also be realized not just simply from the spoken word, but also from the lived action. That is the greatest teacher, when we are teaching with word, that the action also backs up the spoken word. And the character of the moral climate of the home is set by the father, who is realizing that his actions are teaching his children. When Abraham Lincoln was asked about his character, he often spoke of the lessons that he learned from his parents. Most of my children, Janae would be the only one that perhaps would have any memory of having somebody other than dad as her pastor. My kids have grown up listening to dad preach on Sundays, in camp meetings or revival meetings at various times. But I can assure you that the lessons that they have learned didn't come from the pulpit as much as it did, if they learned anything, from the home, from the actions. It's so necessary, so vital that we realize that and we carry even the burden of that responsibility, living in integrity. What is a father of integrity or a father with integrity? Well, a father with integrity, number one, keeps his word. Number two, he admits when he is wrong. And that happens even to the best of people. Admits when he is wrong. Refuses dishonesty, lives consistently before his family. You've heard the phrase, you've heard the saying perhaps, that your children will forget many things that you say, but they will remember the life that you lived. A question for us to ask ourselves is, if our children become exactly like me, spiritually and morally, would that be a blessing? God help our lives to reflect spiritual strength and moral integrity. Number two that we would look at quickly this morning is, a father must lead in perseverance or in faithfulness. Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Do you have that, dads, do you have that verse underlined in your Bible? Do you have it highlighted in your memory? You said, well, why would we want to do that? Well, I believe that Joshua understood the spiritual leadership begins with him. As the father of his home, the leader of his home, not just simply the leader of the great nation of Israel. Not just the leader of millions of people, but he first of all recognized that he was the leader of his home. And he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What does faithfulness mean? It means that they remain steadfast or continue in worship and prayer and church attendance and Bible reading and Christian service. Christian service, we can become confused with putting money in an offering plate for the missionary or for some other good cause. But Christian service becomes more personal to the Father, and in teaching his children that it is vital more than just simply putting a dollar bill or a $100 bill in the offering. You see, children need to see a father who serves God even when it's inconvenient. Not only when it's convenient, but when it's inconvenient. You see, even when a person is trying to do things right, sometimes the consequence of doing things right is not simply a blessing in return. Sometimes doing things right comes to us in a cost or as a cost. Not an inconvenience, just an inconvenience, but it actually costs us something to do what is right. You see, anyone can be faithful for a week, but God is looking for men who are faithful for a lifetime. God is looking for men who are faithful for a lifetime. It's easy for us men to give our father or our children everything, except for the thing that they need the most. We can give them all the provisions that they need and the things that they want. We can hand down a heritage of finance, but unless we're handing down a heritage of an example of devotion to Christ, then we've come up short of a father worth following. A father who leads in perseverance. Number three is a father must lead in provision. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, Paul is talking to his spiritual son Timothy. He said, if any provide not for his own, he hath denied the faith. That's a pretty strong statement, if I can say so. That's a pretty strong statement. If any provide not for his own, well, God will provide. Well, God will do this or God will do that, and not doing anything at all to meet the needs of the family. I believe that I'm right here in saying that a father must lead in provision. God has given us fathers the responsibility of provision. Provision includes physical provision, which is food and shelter and clothing and necessities. It's also not just simply stated in the physical provision, but it's also emotional provision, encouragement, affirmation, love. Dads, I never realized how important it was until after I became a dad. But saying that our son or our daughter is worthless or is incapable or can't do anything right or I've had it up to here with you and I'm sick and tired of, that doesn't build that child at all. You say, well, I can't just ignore it. No, exactly. We cannot ignore their failings or their frailties or their inconsistencies, but we work with them, we teach them, we give them encouragement to do what they do right. And then we guard them and we guide them and we instruct them when they do things that they shouldn't do or don't do things right. I wish I could go back and do a number of things that come to my mind in this very capacity. Encouragement, affirmation, and love. And then to release them to stand on their own. That's a big part of emotional provision as well. Releasing them to stand on their own. Spiritual provision is a necessity. It's a very vital aspect of leading with provision. It's a spiritual provision, something that you can't see, something that you can't necessarily feel. But teaching God's word and leading the family towards Christ, not just pointing them towards Christ, but leading them. It's a good thing to point somebody to Christ, but it's better to lead that person to Christ. It's just too often that we work too hard to provide material things and we neglect the spiritual needs of the home. Too much. Too much. Men, dads, I challenge you. If that be the case, if that speaks to your heart, make sure that you are not neglecting the spiritual needs of the home. Your child will probably forget a toy that you give to them, but they will never forget the times when you pray with them and pray for them. Ephesians 6, 4 reminds us that fathers are to bring up their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The fourth thing that I want us to look at quickly this morning is a father must lead in protection or fortification. We find a little bit of a story, a very small story in the book of Job in chapter number 1. It's not giving us a whole lot, but in verse number 5, there's a description there of Job who regularly offered sacrifices for his children. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, I believe that what that means is that Job understood that fathers are called to stand as guardians of their home. Did you ever think of guarding your home? Guarding your home against the onslaught of the enemy? There's a passage of scripture in the Old Testament, in that horrible book that we think about that is so boring, in Chronicles, and it's just so much mundane. But in my recent reading of that particular book, a small phrase jumped out, and then lo and behold, I get over into the New Testament, and there's a similar phrase in the New Testament. And Satan stood up against Israel. And in the New Testament, the same basic thing in the New Testament that is given, I believe in one of the writings of Paul the Apostle, Satan stood against. Dads, we must lead in protection, guarding our homes. It not only deals with physical protection, keeping the family safe, but it's also that we protect our homes from moral breakdowns, moral protections, the entertainments that would come in, the influences that would come in, the relationships that would come in. I'm not saying that our kids cannot associate with other kids that are not from saved and Christian homes, but we must still guard while they are friendly with and in fellowship with and build friendships with. We still guard against the influences that could come in and will come in if we aren't on guard as the protector of our homes. Moral protection, physical protection, spiritual protection, praying for the family, resisting the attacks of the enemy. The world is constantly competing for the hearts and the minds of our children. Well, my kids won't do that. My kids are above that. Be careful. You are walking on some thin ice when you begin to think that your child is beyond the scope of Satan's attempts and attacks. I can trust my kids, but I cannot trust my kids in the presence of the ugliness of sin and the awfulness of sin, because I realize that we have an enemy that will do everything that he can to destroy. You say, well, how can I? I've got so much other stuff that I must do. Well, we have to take it on like Nehemiah did in the Old Testament of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. You know what that's all about. Go back and read Nehemiah if you need to. But his builders worked with one tool in one hand and a weapon in the other hand. It was not convenient to do that. Imagine how slow the process was because they couldn't build with two hands. But they realized that it was important that they build with one and they protect with the other. And you and I must not be so caught up in the daily things of life that we fail to guard with the other hand the things that would come in. Fathers must build their families while protecting them. Little cliche that grieves me when people use it as a little bit of a joke. But a father who prays for his family is building a hedge of protection around them. I'm dismayed when people take that little cliche, building a hedge of protection, and make light of it. It's a valid point. It's a real point. It's a necessity in our lives to build a hedge of protection around our families and our homes. God never called fathers to be perfect, but he did call us to lead. Did you hear that, men? God didn't call us to be perfect, but he calls us to lead. There are times that in our humanity that we do things that we need to back up and adjust. There's times that we are too quick on judgment or are too quick on a reaction or maybe we're too harsh in some way. God calls us to lead. Let's lead with integrity. That means that there's a principle that we are standing on so that our family can trust us. We lead with faithfulness or perseverance so that our family can follow us. We lead with provision so that our family's needs are met. We lead with protection so that our family is guarded. The greatest testimony a father can leave behind is not that he is successful, wealthy, or influential, but that he led his family toward God. When a father walks in integrity, he remains faithful to God, he provides for his household, protects those under his care, he becomes a living picture of our Heavenly Father. And how many times have you heard me say, maybe it didn't stick in your mind, but I've said it a number of times, that our youngest children learn first how God is through how we are. When we portray the Heavenly Father, we become a living picture of Him. We must live our lives to be an example that our family can follow us. If our family follows our example, if your family follows your example for the next 20 years, where will they end up? Let's lead them in such a way that they arrive closer to Christ than what they were. Let's stand together. Happy Father's Day to all of our dads. And the memories of those that have gone on. Praise God for the dads that are here this morning. For your lives of integrity, your lives of faithfulness, living, giving provision, protection, thank God. And let's keep. Continue that pattern in our lives. Praise God. I'm not sure. I think Ronnie might be the oldest dad here this morning. Ronnie, would you dismiss us in prayer?